Hello, everyone. This is Brian.
And this is Deliana.
And we know you haven't heard from us for a while. We've been taking a little bit of a break, but we're about to start recording again. And we actually have a couple of episodes that we recorded earlier that we want to share with you as well.
Thanks for your patience and for sticking with us. And you hope you enjoy this next episode.
Welcome, everyone, to Tales from Planet Customer Experience. As always, my name is Brian Bruner.
And I'm Deliana Pavlova. We're a couple customer experience geeks who love sharing stories about customer experience. I am delighted to have the pleasure of introducing another international guest to our podcast. We have Mark Ross Smith, who is the CEO and co-founder of Loyalty Status Co., and I'll let Mark introduce himself and tell us a little bit about his company before we go into a story. I'm very excited because Mark is in the airline industry and is frequent flyers. Brian and I are very keen to have this conversation about customer experience and loyalty in this space. So, Mark, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. It's really exciting to be here today. I love this topic. It's one dear to my heart, everything customer experience, especially in the travel industry. I've been in this space for, well, I mean, if you count me being a frequent traveler, then we'll call it 20 years since I was 18. I was a bit bored now. I got started being a frequent traveler. I was just flying around for business everywhere, doing the road warrior kind of stuff, always on planes and hotels and those kind of stuff. And I was doing that as part of a social network business I had at the time, and I ended up selling that company. And, what do I do next? And that's sort of what's got me on the path of, travel industry. I thought, I want cheap flights. I need to work for an airline. That's how you do it, right? Makes sense to me. I'd never work for an airline. That's really how the journey started into this space. But I'll talk quickly about what I do now, because this actually all connects up and you'll see. So we run Loyalty Status Co., work with a bunch of big brand airlines all around the world. And really it's about introducing new brands to frequent flyers. So, there's hundreds of millions of people that travel around the world every year. Somewhere around 30 to 50 million of those people have status with an airline or a hotel. So this is your silver, gold, platinum type frequent flyers. These people are in the top 5% generally of the loyalty program of an airline or a hotel. And for an airline, they contribute around 30% of revenue. Right on. So these are the best, these people travel more, they travel more frequently, typically in a high yield economy or business or first class fare. They've got the credit cards. They're the best type of customer that an airline can have. And so typically an airline wants to provide a great customer experience to these people because these people are responsible for a very large percentage of the revenue for airlines and the high margin revenue as well. It's not the basic economy, $50 seat, at the back of the plane. These are people who are at the front. They're paying thousands of dollars for tickets. You need to schmooze these people to keep them coming back. The elite status goes so far. The perks you get from your gold, your platinum status with, free bags, seat selection, lounge access, priority boarding. These provide incredible customer experiences, but, airlines need to do more effectively to keep you sort of coming back. So I might get right into it and sharing a couple of stories with you today. One story is from when I worked for an airline and how I was providing these really amazing customer experiences. And then the second story I'll share is being a customer of the airline. So sort of both sides of the equation here. So a few years back, I was running loyalty at Malaysia Airlines, and the office for the airline at the time was at the airport at the terminal. So I sort of go out to the airport every day to go to work, and sort of come back home. And I'd walk through the airport to get to and from the office. And being a total aviation nerd, walking through the airport at 6, 7 p.m. coming home, you get a bit bored, and you want to do things. And I thought, I've got. What could I do to sort of brighten someone's day? You know, I got some time to kill walking through the airport to get back. You know, what's something I could do just to make it a little bit more interesting? Because airport's not the most fun places in the world for most people. So if I could just put a smile on one person's face, hey, that, you know, I'm selfish. I want to see the smile as well. So I, hey, that day, make my day. Everyone's happy. So there was about a week there where I went off and I bought some Godiva chocolates. You know, they're really, they're quite expensive. You see them at airports all the time. But about 10 boxes of these a day. And then I'd go around trying to find out some silver, gold, and platinum members of our loyalty program, just randomly in the airport, my own initiative. And, you know, I found some and I'd just go up to people and say, you know, here's, you know, a gift for you. Thank you for your loyalty. And that's it. You know, no cameras, no like gotcha, just thank you for your loyalty. And the reaction was really fantastic. Everyone was like looking around, like, what's the catch? You're just giving this for free? Airlines don't give away stuff for free. Like, yeah, we do. Thank you. Simple as that. And there was one gentleman, okay, this was about 10 p.m. one night. I was in the lounge and I gave him, I said, thank you for your loyalty. And he sort of stood up, he shook my hand and he sort of was a bit teary in his eyes. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know, what have I done? Feeling bad. Yeah. So he's like, I've been very loyal to the airline for the last 30 years. And even through, some Malaysia Airlines has had a couple of high profile incidents. They said, even through these incidents, you know, I remain loyal to the airline. I'm flying to India tonight as part of the Doctors Without Borders program. I'm there for a year, stationed there for a year, sort of helping stuff. And this is the first time I've met someone in a high-level position at the airline. And so this means a lot to me because I've been so loyal to the airline. I'm like, this is exactly the guy I needed to give this to. Like, couldn't be more perfect. Wow. So, you know, he hugged me. He's like, thank you.
Oh, wow.
You know, meanwhile, they got staff in the lounge sort of looking at me like, what's happening here? but, you know, made this guy's day. And, you know, we kept tabs on him to see. I mean, he was obviously not flying for a year because he was effectively relocating. Kept tabs on him and he kept flying the airline, kept being loyal. And, you know, that sort of warmed my heart a bit and kept doing sort of things like that when I was at the airline. I got a good kick out of it. That's what, kind of one story.
Can I ask you a question about that before you go into the other one? Great story. I love it. So were you doing this on your own dime, or was the airline, like, were they okay with you doing this, or was this something you just kind of came up with on your own? Or
I just thought I'd do it on my own money, my own time, theory, really? My own time. Yeah. Wow. Actually, there was one gentleman I gave some chocolates to. He's like, can I get a photo with you? I said, yeah, okay. He takes a photo and he puts on his Twitter and tags the airline. You know, thank you, Malaysia Airlines. You're fantastic. And then, you know, the next morning I get called into an office. Okay. What you doing, Mark? Turns out I was wearing a suit. I wasn't wearing a tie. Interacting with passengers without a tie apparently is not allowed.
No kidding.
I found that out that day.
Wow. That's super interesting.
So, next one was actually last year. You know, we work with a bunch of airlines all around the world. And I booked a ticket, one trip with Emirates, one of my favorite airlines. And, you know, I work with them. So I sent them an email and just said, hey, I'm flying through. You know, here's my ticket number. Just, you know, anything you do to make it more enjoyable for me. Turns out they decided to go all out and treat me like the super VIP. Like, it doesn't get any, like, their invitation, like the most super VIP you could possibly get. I didn't know this until so I'd walked into the airport at Kuala Lumpur, which is where I was departing from, Malaysia. And as I walked into the front door, it's a big airport, like there's entry doors everywhere. As I walked into the front doors, way before I get to the check-in counter, this lady from Emirates in the uniform comes running over to me. She's like, are you Mr. Ross Smith? I've been expecting you. Okay. She's like, I'll take your bags now. And she's like, you know, she's like, click, 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 boy, come on. And they took her bags. And she's like, I've checked you in already. We'll deal with your bags. And I'll bring you your baggage receipt later. Okay. Do you need my passport? No, we know who you are. It's okay. Okay.
Wow.
She's got boarding passes already. Takes me through the super VIP on immigration, you know, to the lounge, and then says, I'll leave you at the lounge for a couple hours here. Would you like to be first or last aboard the aircraft today? And I said, well, I'll be first. Why not? So she, you know, went 10 minutes before boarding, she comes again. She's like, we've got to go now. We're boarding in 5 minutes. And there's something quite nice about waltzing past 400 other people and just being first to, you know, I'm talking before children, women, people that need assistance, like before all this is me, very able, fit guy, you know, apparently need help. But, you know, the thing is when you, the magic here is, it's walking past everyone else. You know, it's the that 10 seconds of just waltzing past, scanning your boarding pass, and you, for a brief moment, it feels like life is complete for a very brief moment. And, you know, these are the magical moments that airlines can nail. They get it right really well when they do it right. Priority boarding on airplanes is a giant advertisement. That's all it really. It's a giant advertisement for, hey, you could board first as well, spend more, fly more, pay more, you know, do all this stuff and you can get there as well. There was a flight recently, I was in Japan. It was an ANA flight boarding to the USA. And there was no first class on this flight. And yet the gate agents, so they say, you know, welcome to flight, boarding, you know, welcoming our first class passengers today. There is no first class. And yet they said, well, no, it's an advertisement. It's not about actually, it's not about the operational. It's about, and they waited for like 2 minutes. It was silent. Everyone's looking around like, who's boarding? The line there was empty. There's no one in it. And I'm like, this is brilliant. I want to be in that one next time. Not in this other one. There's 400 people along.
Yeah.
You know, so I think airlines are in a position where they can do, they can create these magical moments because they have this sort of semi-controllable ecosystem where they can do things deliberately or not. They've got a lot of levers they can pull to make things better or worse. You know, we've all had some good and not so good customer experiences on board on aircraft. You know, the cabin crew can sometimes make or break your flight. They can turn an average day into an amazing day just through really small gestures. Things like, you know, they write something on a card that says, you know, thank you, Brian. This is your 100th flight this year. You're one of our most loyal customers. Welcome back. Yeah, and then there's like a little cookie next to it or something, or like if you like champagne, a little champagne, or there's just something. It's small, it's almost insignificant, costs them basically nothing, but it means the world to you. I think airlines can do this in a more magical way than some other brands do, and so I like hearing these kinds of stories as well. I like sharing them.
And I think that's what's key about your story, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the whole point of your Emirates story is, right, like how it made you feel at the end of the day was, right, like the feeling that you had getting on the aircraft first, right? It's like that magical moment of having that experience and having that feeling that they were able to create for you.
100%. I mean, it's not really scalable. You can't do that for 500 people on every flight every day.
Right.
You lose some of the magic.
But it's funny. I actually have, and obviously you can't see this on the podcast, but I have in my hand a card that I think it was a pilot. Yeah, it was the captain that wrote to me. Thanks for joining us today on this flight. We value your continued business with us. Have a great evening. Just to, you know, it probably took him 5 minutes, you know, 30 seconds to write this. And then, but for me, I kept it. Like, does it have a date on it? No, this one doesn't have a date on it, but it's probably been 5 years. And I'm just like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know? And I don't want to throw it away. It kind of makes me feel special, you know?
Was it a special milestone for you, Brian, that flight?
No. I mean, granted, I've lost the status now, but I was a very high status with United at the time. And so, I think he did it for all of the customers that were in that status, but it, I mean, what did it cost them? Less than a penny. Right. And so, but it's something that's kind of stuck with me all these years as well.
And here you are sharing about on this feeling, podcast like and telling your friends about it and all that's sorts right. of stuff. So it, like that one penny investment has what kind of results is that getting? And you're probably more exactly. likely to fly them in the future.
Yep.
For yep. sure.
Well, I think that's the other thing about status is that's also their way of keeping you, right? Because, you know, I dread the day that I have to live in another city where United's not a hub, but that I would have to give up, you know, flying in United because they're my, you know, do I think they're the greatest airline in the world? No, but because of my status, I don't want to fly with anyone else, right? So that's an interesting part of it too.
What's really interesting is we run something called Status Match, which is pretty popular, and it actually solves, don't turn it into an advertisement because it's not, but you know, if you've got status one airline brand, you know, effectively can get exactly the same with someone else. So this is really effective because to your point, you don't want to lose status. You know, you don't want to drop down. There's a big kind of fear factor of people, you know, where they're dropping for, I'm making up, but like from platinum to gold, they know they're going to lose these four benefits. They know suddenly they're in group eight to board the aircraft instead of group three or whatever, you know, which is a big deal if you got carry on. Like, you want to be on early. It is. So people have a real sort of, they will do things that they otherwise wouldn't do to try and keep that status. They will go fly, it's called mileage runs, you know, they'll go, or status runs, they'll go do these things purely just to keep their status. Quite a lot of people do it. You know, you get to the end of the year, like in December, and everyone's looking at it and going, oh my gosh, I need 5,000 miles to keep this thing. And, you know, like it's a bit of an ego thing, really, because you don't really need it, but it's a really good thing to have. And you kind of do everything to hold on to that status as long as you possibly can. And then, you know, that day comes when you do drop down. I mean, everyone at some point eventually loses status. You do drop down and you feel this, you don't feel too good inside for a while.
No, it's like, horrible.
My life is over. What will I do without my platinum status now?
I'm embarrassed to admit this, but this is my first year on one level down, and it's been really tough. I know no one's going to feel sorry for me, but it's interesting how that happens. And you know, like you said, Mark, to some extent, it's an artificial thing. We don't really need that, but it's how you feel about it. And I think that's why loyalty programs are all over the place now, because it's about how do you make your customers feel. Sometimes at great expense, you know, some of these, as you know better than we do, these programs are very expensive, but sometimes it's a very simple thing as well. So yeah, it's all about how the customer feels towards you and is that enhanced by this concept of status. It's really interesting.
So something interesting happened at end of last year and beginning of this year, something called I call it the status cliff or the downgrade tsunami, that according to the New York Times, which is everyone that had their status extended during COVID times was downgraded for the first time at the end of last year, beginning of this year.
That was me. I was part of
that. So I estimate there's around somewhere between 30 and 50% of everyone that had status was downgraded in that time. So in North America, probably around, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 million accounts. So accounts. So that means you could have had two or three statuses that were downgraded. So you'd be double counted in that number.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of people. And that is a lot of people that are feeling what you felt. And at that point they go, you know what? I'm not feeling the love from that brand anymore, even though it was your own fault for not flying.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the point. It's the fact that you're not feeling the love there. And so what do you do? A lot of people decide to be free agents. And for the first time, they're like, you know what? I'm open to trying new brands. I'm open to try a new airline, a new hotel, a new something. And then you go, you know what? I used to fly airline A and I like that. It's a full service legacy airline. And now there's this low cost airline that's $20 for a ticket that used to cost me $400. I'll give it a shot because I've got no status anyway. It's like, what's the point? And you try, people are trying these low cost airlines and like, you know what? It's not as bad as I thought. Like once you buy all the ancillaries, you know, buy everything, it's not that bad. And so that's what I see has been a bit of a shift to these low cost and ultra low cost airlines, you know, because of that downgrade tsunami. And so I think, you know, some of these low cost airlines are, I think they're trying to up their game a little bit in terms of the customer experience that they traditionally have been perceived to provide, you know, folks. Now that there's a what we'll call a different clientele that's sort of coming in. You've got your folks from, you know, may have typically flown American, United, Delta, these kind of, you know, and they're coming into this ultra low cost ecosystem for the first time, maybe flying, you know, Spirit or Frontier or someone for the first time in their whole life, just because the other brand sort of kicked them out.
Interesting.
And this brings up a good question, right? Because as customer experience professionals, we talk about how do we deliver these exceptional experiences. But here we're talking kind of about the elite segment, right? Like the ones that get the special treatment. But as an airline, you have a much broader audience of customers, right? And precisely to your point, those who don't feel the love, right? Like don't have the status are open to experiencing other airlines and potentially developing loyalty if they're being treated special, right? So I think it's kind of an interesting dynamic of kind of paying special attention to these loyal top tier customers, but also figuring out how to provide good enough experiences, let's call them, right, for the rest of your customers to keep them and potentially make them loyal over time.
Yeah, exactly. You see, Delta recently just introduced free Wi-Fi for all SkyMiles members. So that's as long as you're just a basic member of those, you get free Wi-Fi on board. I think there's a bit more logic behind what they're doing there. I think it's actually a quasi credit card acquisition play. I can talk about that later. So there's a bit like that happening. But you know, they're given a good shot at trying to provide that enhanced layer of customer experience to everyone. It's like you've just got to join the program. It's free. Takes you 60 seconds and you're in, but you get free Wi-Fi. And for some people, that's enough. That's like, you know what? I like this. This is the other airline who is trying to charge me $10 a flight or what, you know, whatever. So that's kind of a value add to everyone, not just status holders. So I think we're going to see a little bit more of that where airlines are trying to, hotels as well, bring people into their loyalty ecosystem through different offers, enhancements, things like that. And once they're in, it's how do you accelerate them into the tiers? Because if someone earns status that hasn't earned status, lots of amazing things happen. Firstly, chance of them getting co-brand credit card are phenomenal. And airlines make a lot of money from these credit cards. Anyone that's flown domestically in the US in the last, 10 years has probably heard a credit card pitch when you fly. It's like, special offer for you today, get 75, whatever it is, you know. They make a lot of money on those cards, I can tell you. And in fact, they make so much that, you know, if you take away those credit card products, most airlines are not profitable. So they do very well. And that's effectively a way to bring people up through the tiers, get status into people's hands as fast as you can from zero.
Interesting. Well, this has been fascinating. I feel like we could talk for another couple of hours, but Mark, anything else you want to add here before we close up?
You know, we're on a customer experience topic and I'm a big advocate of, especially in travel, I like to see people that work at these brands be customers of their own product. You know, so an airline, I always encourage people, don't take your free staff ticket, you know, pay for the ticket, make people, you know, fly on your own, you know, go through the process that everyone else would go through. And, you know, I think I'd like to see this in more industries, not just travel, because, you know, you can imagine an airline executive, if he's buying his own seat in coach, sitting in the back of the plane and something goes wrong, you know, as soon as that plane lands, he's on the phone saying, hey, John, fix the whatever, you know, suddenly it's magically fixed because some C-level person saying, fix it. And that's solving the problem, not just for them, but for the you and me and millions of other travelers all around the world. So I think one of the keys to sort of great customer experience is, you know, preferably eating your own dog food kind of thing, you're trying your own product and doing it often.
That's really interesting. Just recently, I was listening to a podcast about a major brand that was having some struggles with their customer experience. And one of the comments that the podcaster made was, I'm almost positive that none of the executives have gone through this. Like they don't know the pain that people are going through. And until they do, they're probably not going to have the motivation to fix it. So
there's real power in it, real power. And, yeah. You see like, you know, CEOs kind of going undercover and working in their own companies.
Yeah.
You see this kind of several times. you know, why not do it all the time? Why not leave the camera crew at home? Just go do it. You know, great stuff.
It's a great point. Great point. Very good. Dilian, anything else you want to add here?
No, those were great insights. Thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed the conversation and the insights into the travel industry. As a fellow traveler, this is a topic I feel like we're all very passionate about. So thanks for shedding a little bit more light on it and sharing it with our listeners as well. Thank you.
Agreed. Well, thank you. And for our listeners, as always, if you have a story you'd like to share with us, whether it's a good experience or a bad experience, you don't have to have all the experience that Mark has to come on, but we'd love to hear the story. Or you can just send us an email at planetcustomerexperience@gmail.com. And we want to again thank our guest Mark and thank all of you for listening, and have a great week, and greetings from Planet Customer Experience.